noise. If you love Sweet Valley, better make some noise. It's the Sweet, Sweet Valley Live. Sweet Valley Jack and Tattery Joy. And a sweet analysis of the Sweet Valley books will never annoy you. The Sweet, Sweet Valley Boys. If you love Sweet Valley, better make some noise. Now your life is sweet and it's full of joy. Cause you're in Sweet Valley with the Sweet, Sweet Valley Boys.
Hello and welcome to the Sweet Sweet Valley Guys. A great big
I
was kind of winding up to something.
I think it was Sweet Sweet Valley Boys.
And I think there's a whole song that people have just heard that probably almost certainly proves you wrong. Can I start again?
Yeah.
Great. He's looking it up, ladies and gentlemen.
Ooh, I'm getting a call.
You're getting a call
from Eagle, Colorado.
Well, turn it down or answer it. I don't give a shit. I guess.
Shut up. Do your intro.
Hello and welcome to the Sweet Sweet Valley Guys. A great
Headgum.com/ the Babysitters Club/SSVB01
It's
double
boys.
Love.
Okay, it's boys. Okay.
Welcome to the pilot episode of the Sweet Sweet Valley Boys.
Okay, well then I'll start again. Ready?
Yes.
Hello and welcome to the Sweet Sweet Valley Boys.
Boys.
A great big Sweet Valley hi to all the Valley girls and boys out there. I'm Sweet Valley Jack.
I'm Tanner.
Come on, man.
What? I'm not going to play your game. I'm not going to play your game. Get out of my face.
Sweet Valley Boys, I guess, has a ring to it, but Sweet Valley Guys does rhyme with Sweet Valley High.
Yeah,
it's too late.
But...
it's too late. The name of it's the show, and you
I
know
think if
we're
you
just...
were if you were doing it on your own, and if you keep it up, you're going to be
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sweet Sweet Valley Guy, the Sweet Valley Guy
okay.
is a good name for a podcast.
Hi, you know? I'm Sweet Valley Jack. I'm the Sweet Valley Guy. Welcome to my solo podcast. The other guy quit, and
the other guy quit because I was being too mean to him. He stormed off the set.
We're doing a one or two probably Sweet Valley books until we launch into.
We're still
the
waiting on
world
all of our all
romance
our hens to come to roost on yeah. the romance podcast. We're waiting yeah. on cover art,
yeah.
and keep in mind it's our fault.
Yeah,
we're getting beautiful cover art designed
yeah.
by our friend Matthew New, and we waited until about a week before we were about to launch, and he was like, "I'm a busy man.
Yeah,
you will wait for me."
You will wait for me,
art.
He said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we said, all right, we'll do a few Sweet Valleys.
We'll do some Sweet Valleys, and I'm excited about this one. This week we read a novel. It was called Sweet Valley High Number 2, Secrets.
Yes. These books are...
secrets.
Naughty.
They're naughty, and they're full of secrets and lies.
Mm.
Aren't they?
They're so naughty.
Woo!
Everyone is so naughty in this
Everyone's
book.
So bad! Everyone, and that includes you too, Elizabeth Wakefield. I'm looking at you right now. Don't think you're good as gold. You're fucking naughty too in your own way.
Yeah. This is the second time I've read a Sweet Valley book now.
Yeah.
It always, I'm going to say that this is true for every book in the series. It always follows the same pattern. It's Jessica does something conniving and hurtful.
Yeah.
Elizabeth suffers the consequences.
Yeah.
Discovers that it was Jessica who did it, and then sets up Jessica for public embarrassment.
Yeah.
And then the book is over. Is that yeah. how every book is?
I don't know, man. I don't remember. I've definitely read this one. I've read the previous one that we talked about however many months ago, and I've probably read a few others.
It was probably 3 years ago.
But, Jesus God, what are we doing here? What we like to do, I've decided, is describe this novel twice.
Okay.
I'll describe it, then you describe it. I've got a big bad clock handy. We'll put 60 seconds on it. You can describe the novel, but I'll do it first, kind of give you a sense of the type of tone that we're going for as we talk about this book.
Okay.
And hopefully refresh your memory about what happened.
Okay.
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 All right, great. I'm going to describe this novel, and then we'll have you do it. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. If it is our truths that make us real, it is our secrets that make us alive. The secret promise in a new lover's eyes. The secret hope in an old flame's heart. The secret that Enid Weenie Rollins took a bunch of bennies and went joyriding with George Warren in the ninth grade and hit a kid?
Is that what it was?
In this scintillating novel about the secrets we keep and the lies we tell to keep the secrets secret, Weenie Rollins isn't the only person who's hiding something. Just look at Miss Dalton, the French teacher. She's maybe dating one of the students. What? Sweet Valley High, number 2. Secrets.
That's good.
Yeah.
You didn't cover much of the plot of the book.
No, well, you know, it's like kind of stylized. And that's why we have you.
Yeah.
That's why
and
we
I
do
come
it twice.
In and I do.
You come in and do the brass tacks. You do
the blue collar work.
Yeah, exactly. You got your pickaxe. You got your Sweet Valley pickaxe, and you're going to kind of break new ground.
Yeah. Yeah, someone's got to do it, you know?
Someone has to.
They're underappreciated, the laborers in our society, and they're heroes.
Yeah, and you're a hero.
Honk for the heroes.
Yeah.
There's a hospice home on our drive to school that, since we moved up here, has had a big sign out front that says honk for the heroes, and they just took it down a couple weeks ago.
It's like well, you can't honk for the heroes anymore?
Or
the
heroes were like honking for the heroes anymore?
Like, it's a hospice home. Could you, like, not fucking honk?
Those poor old people.
Like, Jesus.
All day, every day, just honking. It's like, I'm trying to die here, all right? Leave me alone. What am I doing?
I'm going to put 60 seconds on this big bad clock that I happen to have handy, and during those 60 seconds, you will describe every single thing that happens in this scintillating novel.
Okay.
You ready?
Yes.
Okay, in 5, 4, 3.
Eenie Weenie Rollins is starting to get a lot of pen pal letters in the mail from her friend George, who she used to do crimes with and drugs with, and he went to rehab and she cleaned herself up, and she is anxious that her boyfriend Ronnie is going to discover these letters and confides in Elizabeth and says, George and I are just friends. I'm not interested in him sexually. I am interested in Ronnie sexually, but I'm anxious about this. Elizabeth said, it's fine. It's nothing to worry about. Reveal it to Ronnie or don't. It doesn't matter. Jessica Wakefield wants to be the queen of the prom, and she wants Bruce Pac-Man to be the king of the prom. So she's trying to figure out some way to maneuver it so that he becomes king and she becomes queen so that they can do a big kiss. And she discovers the letter from George and uses it to sabotage the relationship of Eenie Weenie and Ronnie, and then she takes Ronnie to the dance, thus cementing herself as the queen. But Pac-Man doesn't get it. Wesley Snipes gets it. That's not his name. Winston Egbert gets it.
Yeah, and she sabotages. This is kind of what I'm talking about, Elizabeth. It's like Winston Egbert is the big nerd of the school, and he's like nice, and he's friends with Elizabeth.
But also, like, I think he's the kind of nerd who's like cool.
Yeah, he's cool. He's like
people
friends
like
with
him.
Todd, what's his name? Handsome
Wakefield
purple guy.
It's Elizabeth's boyfriend.
Elizabeth's boyfriend, Todd. He's like a cool, fun nerd. But like Jessica hates him and thinks he's a lame loser, and he's in love with her. And so it's like Elizabeth is like, I'm going to do this like fucking crazy trick on Jessica and make her date the nerd, like have to be like queen to the nerd as king. And it's like, that's going to backfire. Like Egbert is going to be the fucking victim of this.
Yeah, that's also mean.
Like that sucks, dude.
You've turned Egbert into like a fucking joke.
Yeah.
He's just a prop in your cruel
that
prank.
Fucking sucks. You did a great job of describing this novel.
Yeah, I should say the one thing I miss is Elizabeth becomes aware of Jessica's plot and then uses her like Shouts and Murmurs article to propel Winston Egbert into the kingdom.
Yeah, the secrets in this book are like pretty intense. Like Enid Weenie Rollins, for people who don't know the Sweet Valley High series, is like certainly from like the last book, what we learned about her is that she's like a do-gooder fucking nerd.
Yeah.
And it's like the secret, like literally this book opens with Weenie Rollins like being sad, and Elizabeth's like, what are you sad about? And she's like, well, like my like old boyfriend who I used to like do fucking like bennies with and like uppers and shit and like fucking ride around the town, and we like hit a fucking kid like before I went to rehab. Like,
I also I was so confused about Enid Rollins. I was like, I thought in my mind I had pictured her as sort of a Mallory Pikes type, where it's like,
yeah,
sort of nerdy, sort of like, you know, like glasses and frazzled hair. So I Googled Enid Rollins, Sweet Valley High,
yeah,
to just kind of get a sense of who she is. And she's a hottie.
She's a hottie.
Which, like, you kind of get in this, you know?
I mean, like, she's dating, like, these studs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But she's definitely depicted.
Maybe everyone in Sweet Valley High is a hottie.
I think everyone's handsome, probably including Winston Egbert.
Yeah. In fact, I'm just going to Google it right now. Winston
Egbert.
Egbert.
Sweet Valley High.
Sweet Valley High. Let's see what he looks like. Not Winston.
He's not good looking.
Well, he's just sort of a wiener.
Okay.
Yeah, he's not. I don't think he's like a bad looking guy. He's just sort of a wiener.
Yeah, he looks good. He looks like Leonardo DiCaprio in Basketball Diaries. Let's talk more about this fantastic novel, shall we?
Please.
Let's talk about the guys in it. Who shall we talk about first? I want to talk about Bruce Pac-Man, Pac-Man.
Pac-Man. Can I do my power ranking real quick?
Okay, yeah, let's do a power
ranking. From hottie to naughty.
Yeah, this is a new segment. It's called From Hottie to Naughty. Power ranking. Yeah. Tanner is in charge of it.
Here's number one with a bullet, George.
George is the hottiest. Yeah.
George comes back into Enid's life. He's clean. He's sober. He's gotten himself pulled together, and he is a slab of hunky man meat now.
I like
he turns heads everywhere he goes.
Put an asterisk in that and come back with some counter evidence. Though I do agree that he turns heads. But let's hear your power rankings before I do that.
Number two, Bruce Pac-Man, hottest guy in school.
Hot, very handsome, and so rich.
Number three, Ronnie.
What about Todd, man? I think Todd's probably better looking.
Oh, Todd. Number three, Todd.
Yeah.
Because I think Ronnie and Todd, looks-wise, are probably comparable.
Yeah.
But I think Todd has a better personality and is a nice guy.
Ronnie's a real asshole in this. Like, he's, like, very jealous about Weenie Rollins, and he, like, is, like, aggressive with her in the car because, like, he found
I think
the
he
letter.
Is sexy, though.
Oh, he's very definitely sexy, yeah.
So number four, Ronnie. Number five, Winston Egbert.
Yeah, that sounds right. Let me read you this passage and also to the – did we decide what we call listeners of this podcast?
Valley girls
and boys.
No, just girls.
I don't think so.
Okay, valley
heads.
Is there a pun on Valium?
No, definitely not. We'll work on it. But this is for everybody. Ready? Listen to this.
What was that? Gawker blog.
Valley
wags.
that's like a reference for no one.
I'm not even sure if I can remember what Valley Wag was about. Was it just L.A., like the L.A.
Valley Wag
scene?
Was like, wasn't it tech?
Was it?
Yeah, I think it was like tech. It was like tech gossip.
Oh, Silicon Valley gossip. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, nailed it.
Didn't they have an L.A. blog?
I don't know, man. We can't talk about it.
I miss Gawker.
I like do and don't. I was looking at a thing. I ended up down some rabbit hole recently where the staff of Jezebel wrote Deadspin for a day, and the staff of Deadspin wrote Jezebel for a day. And I was like, I've missed the days when like content was like people came up with cool
when
shit
we,
like that.
When we tried,
yeah, we tried, didn't fun. We? We tried.
Yep.
Let me read this passage for you and everybody for the Valley Wags. Ready?
Yep.
So this is when George Warren, Weenie Rollins ends up taking George to the dance. Like, Ronnie really shoots himself in the foot. His jealousy over, like, reading this letter that Jessica fucking slips into his locker, like, is unfounded. She is just friends with George.
Yeah.
But he, like, goes into a rage and then, like, basically throws her into his willing arms. Like, when he shows up at school, she's like, damn, you're fucking hot. I'm free. Now we're dating.
Yeah.
But. This is, listen to this.
He's not here to stay, though. He's just coming to visit. I think he lives in, like, Florida or something.
It's tough to say. Ready? Here we go. Listen to this. This couldn't be the same George Warren she'd last seen 2 years ago. The boy standing before her now was at least a foot taller. A tower of tanned muscle topped by a gorgeous white smile. and the sexiest eyes Enid had ever been hypnotized by. He was dressed in a suit and tie that made him look even more irresistible. She stepped forward as if in a trance to take the hand he held out to her. I know I should have called first. Oh, sorry. Oops.
I know I should have called first, he said in a deep baritone. But I was afraid maybe you'd tell me not to come over. Somehow I just couldn't stand the idea of not being able to see you, Enid.
With his sexy eyes.
It's, you know, I've made this reference before, but it's like the beast in Blade 2, I think.
Mm.
It's like a tower of tanned muscle, and like all you can see on top of it is like a white smile somehow. So it's just like a muscular mass.
Right.
And there's like a smile and like these sexy eyes kind of, I guess, like in or on it.
Looking up the beast from Blade 2.
I think it's Blade 2.
That's returning zero results.
The monster.
I'm getting pictures of knives.
Same with the monster in Blade Monster. Blade Monster.
Monster, Blade 2?
I think it's 2. It could be 1. Don't hold me to it.
Okay. Is it a big guy whose mouth opens up really wide?
It's like, he's just like a mass of flesh, kind of.
You're thinking about the guy who we talked about once.
Yeah, he like fills up a room somehow.
Yeah.
Tell me if this doesn't sound like that. A tower of tanned muscle topped by a gorgeous white smile.
Pearl.
Okay, yeah.
Pearl is the guy's name in Blade.
Yeah. So he's kind of freaky to me.
Yeah, and he's got sexy eyes.
Yeah, which like makes it all the more scary, I think.
Confuses me. It's like, what does that mean? Is his eyes like penis?
Oh, like the eyes are sexy. Because the rest of him is like a hideous mess.
Right.
Like, but there's something about his
eyes. I think his eyes are his sex organ.
That's sexy. Okay, that makes... Oh, so it's sexy in the sort of like...
Clinical
sense.
It's sexual. It's his sex organs.
So it's like when you go to the doctor and the doctor's like, okay, look, like, if you can't tell me like where the rash is, like I can't fucking help you. And you're like, it's in a sexy place.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Did you assume the doctor was a man? It wasn't.
Wasn't it?
No.
Oh, God, I did assume it was a man. Jesus. That's fucking embarrassing.
Listen to what else George can do.
My doctor's not even a man. Why would I assume it's a man?
It's fucking... It's entrenched, man. It's like inside you. It's like... It's not your fault, but it is. That's, you know?
That's the patriarchy.
Yeah.
You know?
Listen to this.
Listen, Enid,
George said, engulfing her hand in his large, warm grasp.
I just talked to Winston, and he told me everything that's been going on. I just want you to know I'm really sorry if my letters got you in any trouble.
Trouble? Enid forgot she'd ever had any troubles. The electric sensation of his touch traveled up her arm, tingling throughout her body. So he's like an electromancer.
Yeah, I think so. I think he's probably... I don't know if that exists in the Avatar universe. And not Avatar Pandora. Avatar The Last Airbender.
The Last Airbender, thank you, because I did. My mind went right to Pandora, which shows what kind of guy. There's two kinds of people, you know?
Yeah. You when you hear Avatar.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm not putting any
judgment
value.
And be honest. Yeah. Yeah.
No, one isn't better than the other.
No.
You know, but.
Yeah.
I don't think there's electric type. Airbenders and
okay. Well, this is Francine's world.
I had an interview recently. I was doing an interview recently, conducting an interview recently with a candidate for a job.
Yeah.
And this candidate, sort of in the end of the interview in the small talk session, said, like, oh, by the way, like, what kind of bender are you?
Cool.
And out of context, I was just like, what the fuck is this person talking about? And they were like, oh, I found a quiz you did for a major media company called What Type of Bender Are You? And I was like, oh, I have to admit something. I've literally never seen an episode of Avatar The Last Airbender in my life.
Oh, you really disappointed somebody.
They were pretty disappointed, yeah.
That's a bummer, man. Never meet your heroes, you know?
Never meet your heroes, yeah. I think I got Waterbender. And I don't know if that's good or not.
Okay, that's interesting. Ring,
taking
ring.
The quiz.
That isn't a waterbender. And I guess there what ring ring. There's like airbenders, obviously. Ring ring.
I think it's air, earth,
ring,
water,
ring.
And fire.
Okay, so it's like Captain Planet. Ring ring.
And
planet.
I think no, there's no heart.
Ring,
I think
ring.
I think
ring, ring.
That waterbenders can bend people's blood and kill them.
Is your phone
ringing? Like, I can suck all the... I know it is, but I'm recording a podcast. I can't
just answer it. It's
the phone call right now.
Just answer it because it's driving me crazy. Ring, ring.
Hello?
Hello? Is this Chuck?
No, is it Tanner, Green Ring?
I'm calling for Chuck Winchester.
I'm sorry, you have the wrong number. Okay. It was the wrong number anyway. I'm sorry.
Ring, ring.
Sorry, they're calling. They're calling back. Hello?
Hello, can I speak with Chuck Winchester, please?
Yeah. Yes, this is Chuck Winchester.
Chuck! Yeah, all crazy.
Sorry,
all...
who is this?
This is,
Deflator Mouse?
No, Crispin Deflator Mouse? No, this is, Cristiano La Traviata.
Okay. How are you today? And remind me, do I know you?
I'm from the Oracle. I've heard about your work at the Stony Brook Gazette, but I'm the editor-in-chief of the Oracle. I understand from the folks over at the Stony Brook Gazette that you're currently in the midst of trying to untangle the situation with the Iran-Contra affair.
Yes, I'm in Iran right
now. And you're pretty close to unraveling
playing Contra.
It sounds like you've been there for a few
Contra
years.
Contra 3. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're challenging games.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know if you've played them.
Tell me, is Oliver North involved? We don't know. It's 1983.
I don't know. I haven't beaten the games yet.
Okay.
I think they're aliens, though, so I don't think Oliver North would be
involved. I loved the work that you did on the situation in Burma, and we do say Burma now because it's 1983.
Oh, right. Yeah. We don't say Myanmar yet.
Yeah. I've just always been an admirer of your work, and I was wondering if I could... I know you're in the midst of, you know, something pretty... that seems pretty important.
Yeah, I'd say.
But I got a few plum assignments for you that might entice you to come over and... work for the
Oracle. I don't
know
if I like plums.
What I mean is a few assignments that might help you make your name.
I'm already I think Pulitzer winner.
Yeah. Yeah, you have a few Pulitzers.
How much more name do I
need? And you didn't win an award for it, but I love the thing you did about the Miss Stony Brook pageant.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I should have won an award for that. I had my PR people really push it. But...
listen, let me run a few things by you. You don't have to take these, and I know you're busy, and I know you're working on something that's probably going to get you another Pulitzer. But here at the Oracle, you know, we're a hungry young startup newspaper. We think we're going to be the future. I'm going to run a couple by you. How does this sound to you? Ready? How does this? It's Sweet Valley Oracle, by the way. Sweet Valley?
Sweet Valley,
California. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yep.
Okay. Listen, here. How about this? How does this strike you? How does this strike your hungry investigative reporter's mind?
Okay. Hit me.
Winston Egbert took a wrong turn down a one-way street during Driver's Ed.
Winston Egbert took the wrong way.
He took a wrong turn down a one-way street during Driver's Ed.
He killed someone?
No, not that we know of.
Here's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Investigative podcast. High production values, string people along for maybe a 12 episode season.
Okay. And then you kind of end with, like,
did he do it? Didn't he do
we
it?
We couldn't really
I don't
find
know.
Out.
And it's all, yeah. And then it's just kind of how you, it sort of peters out.
I like that a lot. Like, I like that a lot.
Yeah.
I got two more for you. The droids are playing the fall dance.
What droids?
The droids. It doesn't say. It just says that the droids are playing the fall dance.
Okay.
It could be BB-8.
I could pitch this to Valleywag, I think.
Okay.
Sort of a tech piece, you know?
All right, I've got one more for you. Miss Dalton may be dating Ken Matthews, and she's the French teacher, and he's like a fucking student. And like,
oh, that's very sexy.
I
that's
feel like
very sexy.
That should be national news, but the way people are handling it within the school is more like a interesting piece of gossip and not like,
well, she's a pretty
like
young
a massive
teacher, right?
Scandal. I mean, she's like in her mid 20s and he's
what?
Like a
15?
17 probably. It's like it's not okay. Right,
that is an issue. Yeah.
Yeah. But we can't prove it.
I don't think I want to touch that one. It sounds like something for the Steve Wilco show.
Okay. All right. Well, that's
you know
all
the
I've
Steve
got.
Wilco show?
I don't. I've never heard of it.
Steve Wilco is Jerry Springer's bodyguard.
Okay.
On the Jerry Springer show, he's the guy who would come out and, like, if anyone got in a fight, he would pull them apart.
Wait, Jerry Springer has a show? Isn't...
Oh, shit.
Can you sing the Jack Google song just very, very quickly? No, that's the Tanner Google song.
Oh. All around me are familiar faces. Jack Googles, Jack Googles.
Jack Googles, Jack Googles.
Isn't Jerry Springer currently... congressman?
It's a different Jerry Springer.
Surely the Jerry Springer who just last year sought the Democratic nomination for governor of Ohio isn't going to go on to have a TV show.
Entirely different guy. Entirely different guy.
Okay, different guy. Okay.
My sister, when I moved up here to Connecticut.
Okay.
So the Jerry Springer show.
I thought you were in Iran.
Sorry, sidebar.
Yeah.
It's Tanner.
Okay.
When I moved to Connecticut.
Could I just maybe say goodbye to Chuck and then we can hear
Oh, you're done?
Yeah, that's all I got, really. And it sounds like you're not interested in joining the Oracle.
Well, I tell you what, Cristiano.
Yeah.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you for calling me here in Iran.
Yeah.
My satellite phone. The minutes on this thing are insanely expensive.
Yeah.
You would not believe.
Okay.
But it was worth having this little conversation with you. I'm going to pass.
Okay.
I still do need to beat Contra.
Okay.
Which is why I'm here in Iran. But thank you for your time, you know?
You're welcome.
It's a real pleasure. Keep me in mind if anything, you know, juicier comes along.
Okay, well, you're the greatest.
Thank you.
Okay. Goodbye.
When I moved to Connecticut.
Yeah.
A year ago, my sister texted me.
Okay.
And she said, ooh, now you're even closer to where they filmed Jerry Springer.
Okay.
You should go to a taping of Jerry Springer in Stamford, Connecticut.
Okay.
And I sent her a Google Maps link that said it showed my previous address in Brooklyn and the directions to Stamford, Connecticut, which was about 1 hour and 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And then I showed her the directions from my current house in Central Connecticut to Stamford, Connecticut, and it was about like 1 hour and 45 minutes.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the literal definition of triangulation.
Yeah, I gave you 3 points on the map.
Yeah.
That's all you need.
That's all you need. What else should we say about the book? Bruce Pattman. Oh, I was just going to say about Bruce Pattman. We did our Hottie to Naughty power rankings. Bruce Pattman is the fucking Joker, man. Like, the shit that comes out of this guy's mouth.
He's a creep. He's, like, sort of weird.
He's weird. Like, he's got this, like, Joker energy.
Yeah.
Here's one conversation that Bruce Pattman has with Jessica. She's, like, so into him, and he's, like, not that into her. But listen to this.
Care.
This is not a person who's right in his mind.
Yeah. He's disturbed.
Well, well, if it isn't Little Bo Peep.
Draw. Do it like Joker. Do it like Heath Ledger Joker.
I don't really remember.
Well, if it isn't.
Well, wow. Okay, he kind of like swallows his words, right?
And he's got sort of this like his like inflection is like all over the place.
Okay, you know? I'm gonna try it. I haven't seen the movie in a while, so cut me some slack. Well, if it isn't Little Bo Peep. Drawled Bruce as Jessica fell in step beside him. He raked her over with a flick of his heavy-lidded blue eyes. Lost any sheep lately?
That is... You nailed sort of the most maniacal Joker character.
Jessica laughed as if this were the funniest joke in the world. Bruce Pattman could recite the Gettysburg Address in Pig Latin and have all the girls in school hanging on his every word. I don't know what you're talking about, Bruce, she parried, fluttering her lashes at him. I'm practically the loneliest girl in the whole school. Would you believe I don't even have a date to the dance yet? I'll bet Egbert would take you. I hear he's really got the hots for you. Jessica made a disgusted noise. He's the last boy on earth I'd want to go with. I mean, honestly, he's like some kind of cartoon. Bruce chuckled. Sure, old Scooby-Doo. Winston's for you, though. Like, what the fuck?
What is he talking about?
What are you talking about?
It's like riddles.
Sure, old Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
It's a really weird way of talking to someone.
It is a weird way of talking to someone. I can't figure this guy out because he expresses no interest in Jessica.
Yeah.
But then, like, at the dance, like, is, like, eye fucking her the entire time.
He's, like, I think he's just got this, like, sociopathic energy is what I'm picking up on. Because she, yeah. like, he's, like, giving her the eye, but then, like, she, like, ends up being the queen to Egbert's king. And he's, like, LOL, good luck with that. Like, he doesn't give a shit. Yeah.
He doesn't.
I think he's cool.
I think he is cool, and I do think he wants to, like, boink Jessica.
Yeah, and he's cool enough to, like, not be... Like, everyone else is, like, fucking, like, over the top with that shit, and he's cool enough to be like, I can, like, contain this desire and also, like, be cool about it.
Yeah.
Unlike literally everyone else in the school.
Can I introduce a new segment?
Please, yeah.
It's called Embarrassing Confessions with Jack and Tanner.
Perfect.
And it's where we find a passage in this book that reminds us of something embarrassing we did one time.
Okay. And it doesn't have to be both of us, necessarily.
It doesn't have to be, but it should be and could be.
Yeah.
It should be.
Yeah.
Just for the sake of, like, you know.
Parallel construction.
Yeah. And, like, booing one another.
Like, when I say, I'm Sweet Valley Jack, and then you say...
I'm Tanner.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Elizabeth said. Really, I am. It's just that I can't believe anything you did could be as terrible as all that. She's talking to Enid. Enid took a deep, shaky breath, then blurted, try a police record, then. You? In spite of herself, Elizabeth couldn't help being shocked. Yeah, me. Oh, I know, you're thinking straight as an arrow, Enid, but I wasn't always so straight.
Uh-oh.
And here's my embarrassing confession, Jack. When I was, I would think, maybe 16? 15? 16? I did everything in my power to convince all of my friends and coworkers at McDonald's that I had been, at one point in my life, a very heavy smoker.
Okay.
And then I had given it up.
Why?
I don't.
Because he thought it would give you, like, some cachet?
I thought it would give me some cachet, and I was like, oh, yeah, no, I smoked from, like, 12 or 14.
Oh, God. So anytime someone would light a cigarette, you'd be like, oh, man, get that away from me, man. I can't even look at him.
Literally, yes. And then I had a manager at McDonald's when I was 16.
Yeah.
Who was a prick. And one time I had a cold, and I was, like, coughing in the back room. And he was, like, passing by, and he's like, sounds like a real smoker's cough. And I was like, yeah, man, tell me about it. And, like, 16-year-old Tanner had absolutely no idea that he was giving me shit.
But of all the things you could invent in your past to, like, make you cool, it's so lame.
I don't know. I don't even remember why. It was just, like, it was so insignificant. It didn't matter. I've never smoked. I've never smoked in my life. Well,
yeah, now tobacco. That I'm hearing you say that, I think it would be more interesting if you used to be a very heavy smoker.
Would it?
Yeah.
Now I'm 37. Now I can, like, tell that story.
I used to be a very heavy smoker. I smoked a pack a day for a long time. And the way that I quit was I was in Rome, living in Rome by myself, and I didn't know anybody. And I was just, like, chain smoking and drinking, like, cheap rum and beer on the bus all day. I would smoke a bunch of cigarettes, and then I would, like, buy out cheap rum and beer and, like, get on the bus and ride around the city and be like, why did I move to Rome? And then eventually I was like, I have to quit smoking because it's not helping.
That's the problem.
And so what I did was, like, I got a whole bottle. This is before I was vegan. I got a whole bottle of Bailey's Irish Cream, and I drank all of it. I woke up one morning and I drank all of it, like the entirety of it, so that I couldn't leave the house, and just, like, sat in a bath for a whole day.
So you did have an embarrassing confession.
Not being able to, like, leave the apartment to get cigarettes.
You made it seem like you weren't going to have one, but yours is maybe more embarrassing than mine.
How the fever broke.
Right.
That's cool.
You detox yourself.
I detoxed myself, kind of.
With a bottle of Bailey's. You know?
But that's cool confessions. That's cool confessions.
Yeah. Mine was cool too.
Yours was cool too. And the segment's now called Cool Confessions with Jack and Tanner. And we have to take a break, don't we?
Okay.
Let's take a quick break and we'll be back.
Yep.
Okay. Bye. Hey, everybody.
everybody. It's Jack again with a brand new update about the delightful family mystery mobile game, June's Journey. I have been making real progress solving puzzles and getting stuff to put on my cool estate in the fun world of mystery, danger, and romance that's conjured up by June's Journey, a game set in the roaring 20s about a daring young woman named June who's traveling to her sister's estate to uncover scandalous family secrets and customizing her own luxurious estate island in the process. Tanner, unfortunately, is still pretty convinced by the ad brief we were sent that he has actually been assigned on a real secret mission to uncover the killer of June's sister, Claire. The good news is that after some extremely frustrating conversations with the unbelievably patient people at the Central Connecticut Steamship Authority, I was able to clear up the fracas regarding the steamship that Tanner rented. But the bad news is that, if I'm reading this hastily scrawled missive correctly, he appears to have gotten himself horribly lost in a hedge maze in Würzburg, which I think is in Germany. According to the secret code on the back of the letter, which, to be clear, he's just written this part upside down, he is in good spirits and he is hot on the tail of Grandma Heath, and I shouldn't worry, but could I please send him 40 ducats in an unmarked envelope so that he can bribe the butler, which sounds both complicated and questionably legal. I'm going to keep you guys posted on this, but in the meantime, you can discover your inner detective just like I have when you download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. I have to go. There is apparently a carrier pigeon at the door with a new message from Tanner. And we're back, and I'd like to introduce a segment.
Okay.
And it's called Jack and Tanner.
Oh my God, why she come out here with this crane on like she at an arcade?
Fashion experts?
Why we ain't got no shoes on? Girl, no. All them sweaters.
And it's where we try to see, talk about the fashion in the book. And I've got a few, honestly. There's a lot of fashion in this novel, and I didn't understand it for the most part.
Yeah, they talk about fashion a lot in this book because it's prom season.
It's prom season. It's the fall dance. It's a fall in the fall dance, isn't it? It's,
so we're all getting dressed up. We're all putting on our fanciest outfits. We're all renting tuxes from the mall.
I wonder if it's a Halloween hop.
I don't know if it's hard to tell with California.
Yeah,
because it's like the weather's always favorable.
Yeah,
so it's hard to tell when it's Halloween. You know,
the
Babysitter's Club books, which we read all of, broadcast it very clearly.
Yeah, they make it clear. But this, we know that it's called the fall dance. Okay. And what is a fall dance if not a Halloween hop? So it's interesting. It's just a way for Francine to kind of nod at what the Babysitter's Club was going to do 3 years later.
Maybe it's the fall of Lucifer.
Oh, it could be the fall of Lucifer. Interesting. The fall of dance.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. That actually makes a lot more sense.
Yep. Challenge God.
Yeah.
I think said that he didn't love God's creation.
Yeah, I think something
like the
that.
Other angels did.
Yeah, and then
and was
you know,
banished
there's
from heaven.
All the stuff with the tree, the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and then you know, then here we are now in our fallen state. So thanks for that, Lucifer.
Yeah.
Let's read some of the fashion, and we can kind of just talk about it. People like fashion, and these books have a lot of fashion, and we like to talk about it. Here's one fashion. Ready?
Yeah.
Listen to this. You look sexy, if that's what you want to know, commented.
Thank you.
No, it's for, I'm reading the book.
Oh, sorry.
From the book. Yeah. You look sexy, if that's what you want to know, commented Elizabeth, scarcely looking up from the ironing board as she finished pressing the ruffled hem of her own, slightly less revealing voile gown.
So spell it.
V-O-I-L-E. I think it's supposed to be vole. That's the only thing I could think.
V-O-I-L-E.
Yeah, I think it's vole. I think it's a vole gown.
Vole it's is like, a kind of mink?
A vole is like a kind of rodent. It's like a small rodent. So she's got a gown, which is a dress. Yeah. And it's made out of the fur.
Of like a little...
Vole means sail in French, I think.
Okay.
So maybe it's a sailcloth.
Like heavy, waxed cloth with like big rivets in it.
Or it could just be like a sail. Like it's a gown that has like a fucking sail on it that she can like hold up if it gets windy. Oh, so she can sort of like
draft. Yeah.
Yeah, and she could draft off of it.
Just sort of like helps propel her.
And it's got a ruffled hem, which is like, people don't know this, but it's like, I mean, if you've ever seen like...
I've hemmed my jeans.
Artwork from the Elizabethan era, they have these kind of like big kind of ruffled white hem. Like it's called a ruffled hem. Yeah, and they wear them around their neck. Yeah. So she's got this like sailcloth gown, probably, I don't know if it's vole. I don't think, maybe it's not voles. That was a mistake.
Could be. Yeah. Could be. I think voles are tiny.
Yeah.
So it's probably like so thousands of... you would have to
get a lot of voles.
Voles shaped into like a sailboat sail that she's not using as a sailboat sail. She's using it as a gown.
Yeah.
And it's top, beautiful. She's got one of those Shakespearean robes.
And it says that it's like, it implies that it's kind of revealing.
I mean,
it's revealing about the kind of person she is. It's revealing about the kind of person she is. If you're as an animal rights person, if you're going to wear an animal, wear a big animal because fewer of them have to die for your gown. Like if you're wearing a vole gown.
Oh, it's about math for you people.
It's about math for us people. Yeah.
It's just about that, the...
Yeah. If by us people you mean utilitarians, then yes, it is about math. Yeah. But that's it's revealing about who she is. That she's
also, but
she
like it, in that case, what you want to do is you want to kill a person because the skin is already sort of like tailor made to your body shape.
That's
you know?
A good point. So you don't even have to bother a tailor.
Yeah, you can kill one person and not bother anyone else and just wear their skin.
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah,
that's fine.
That's actually okay.
Yeah, and if you're lucky, that person will consent to it.
Yeah, yeah, and then you don't have it on your conscience. Yeah,
yeah.
Do you have any fashion you'd like to talk about? Because I've got a few more.
I'm trying to figure out this one.
Okay, yeah.
I can't wait for the voting to start, Jessica whispered to Elizabeth. Sorry. I can't wait for the voting to start.
Okay, thank you.
Jessica whispered to Elizabeth. Me neither, Elizabeth answered, wondering if her sister would be so anxious to win if she knew what was in store for her. Elizabeth spotted Caroline Pierce looking hideously girlish in a ruffled pink organdy dress that clashed with her hair. Ruffled, I understand. It's Shakespeare's.
It's like a rough. Yeah. It's a ruffled hem is the technical term, but it's like you have it on your neck and it looks like Shakespeare.
Pink, I understand. It's a color.
Yeah.
Dress, I understand. It's like a long
organdy
shirt.
Organdy is like
organdy. What I read when I read it, I was like, oh, typo. What it meant is orangey.
Yeah.
But I don't. No, if that's the case.
Organdy. I think it's organs. It must be organs.
It's organs.
Right? It's got like organs kind of dangling on it. And
it's made out of organs. And this
that's
is
somebody
human
who uses
stuff.
The whole body, right? They made a skin. They did a skin suit. And they're like, I'm going to use the whole thing.
That's perfect.
And I'm going to make a second dress that's just got like kind of organ ornaments.
That's perfect. This Claire character and Jessica hooked up and they're like, I get the skin. You get the organs.
Yeah.
Let's make lots of money.
Yeah, that's good. I love the fashion in this book. I've got another one if you'd like to hear one.
Hit me.
Elizabeth couldn't believe it when she turned and saw Enid floating in on the arm of an absolutely gorgeous boy. Let's talk about that before we move any further. Elizabeth couldn't believe it when she turned and saw Enid floating in on the arm of an absolutely gorgeous boy.
So it's like Silver Surfer.
Yeah.
Except instead of a surfboard, it's an arm.
And it's pretty sexy because this is kind of what we call arm stuff in the business. Yeah. But so that's fascinating. So, she's riding.
She's surfing on it. Yeah.
Okay. That's cool as hell. She was glowing with excitement.
Well, and I think Silver Surfer does that too. It's the cosmic, it's the cosmic energy, you know.
Her cheeks flushed, her eyes shining. It's also Silver Surfer.
Yep.
She wore a pale mauve off-the-shoulder dress that showed off her slender figure to perfection. Her hair was pulled back. Is it mauve? No, it's surely mauve.
M-A-U-V-E?
Yeah.
Mauve.
Okay, you're the boss. I don't know.
I've only ever seen it written. Her hair was pulled back, anchored by delicate mother of pearl combs. The shimmer. So that's the anchor is like, it's kind of, I guess it's like a sailing theme.
Yeah. There's mother of pearl, which I guess is clams.
Okay. A clam is the mother of pearl.
The clam gives birth to the pearl. Right.
Okay. So she's, her hair is being like pulled down by these like heavy clams.
Clams. Yeah.
Okay. And so the thing that I really honed in on here,
it's a weird way to phrase it. It's like saying that like bees are the mother of honey, you know?
Yeah. It's actually kind of beautiful.
It is kind of beautiful. It's eloquent. Yeah. It's nice.
It's really eloquent. It's something that Francine does really well. I just wanted to explain for folks what an off the shoulder dress is. It's basically a cape.
Okay.
Like you have a dress, like you're not wearing the dress the way you would normally put it on. You're just like attaching it to your shoulders, to
sounds
your
like
epaulets,
like a poncho,
and just hanging it back off of your shoulder.
Oh, that's so you're fully means. Exposed in the front.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, you presumably have epaulets or shoulder pads, something to like hang the cape dress from. But that's what off the shoulder means, I think.
Like M. Bison, those really big ones.
Yeah, a lot like M. Bison. Yeah.
Maybe big enough that they cover your bosoms.
Yeah.
You know? Because I don't think it's appropriate to go to school dance fully frontal naked.
It's not.
Yeah. I tried.
Yeah.
I got kicked out of the school dance.
Yeah. But your embarrassing confession is that you pretended you used to smoke.
Oh, I've got lots of embarrassing confessions.
Yeah, okay,
I think this segment has
you
a lot of
legs. You got to save them. Yeah. Okay.
Almost too many to get into.
Well, save some. Save some. Yeah. Anything else you want to talk about?
Oh, you're already done. You're looking.
Oh,
for
I mean,
an
I
exit.
Have got more fashion. If you want to talk about more fashion, I have more fashion. But
no,
I, you
I'm
know.
Done with my fashion. I only captured Oregon D.
Oh, here's one. I'll just do a quick one. I just wanted to explain this for folks because it sounded really cute. You can joke about it all you like, Jessica said. As a matter of fact, he is going to be there, and I'm making sure he notices me. So, what do you think? Is the sweater dress okay? And that's when you like make a dress for your sweater.
Oh, okay. So you're going to wear a sweater, but the sweater's wearing a dress.
But the sweater's wearing a dress.
Yeah. That sounds nice.
And then when, like, on the runway, when they're like, the reporter's like, who are you wearing? Then you can be like, why don't you ask my sweater?
Yeah. I'm wearing sweater, but ask the sweater.
Ask the sweater who she's wearing.
Dress.
A dress is the answer. Good.
That's good. And do you also wear a dress then, or is it just the sweater? You wouldn't want to clash.
No, you wear the sweater.
You and wear again, the sweater, so you're nude from
no
the
bottoms.
Belly button down.
Yeah, but no
but
one's
the sweater
looking.
Is wearing
no
a dress.
This is actually isn't scandalous. No one's looking at your nude bottom.
No, you're like a
because
canvas.
They're
no one
like,
cares about the canvas. You know,
yeah.
People care about the paint.
They're fascinated by the fact that it's like, have you ever seen a sweater wearing a dress?
Right.
And it's
and the dress is hanging down off the sweater in a way that covers your vagina.
Okay. Yeah.
Or more accurately, your vulva.
Yeah. Thank you.
But your butt is still.
Yeah, our butt's still out there.
Yeah.
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 Jack. Yeah.
It is a well-known fact.
Mm-hmm.
I almost said theory, but I think at this point it's confirmed fact that the Sweet Valley High books take place in an alternate universe where the girls are all human girls and the boys are all sentient
cars.
Automobiles.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's called car theory. And we got some pretty important evidence in support of car theory this week.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Notably, Bruce Pac-Man.
Yeah. Bruce Pac-Man's really kind of showing it off.
Car.
Yeah.
Elizabeth was in love with Bruce Pac-Man since her freshman year. He was the most desirable guy in school. Besides being movie star handsome, he was fabulously rich and drove a terrific black Porsche.
Okay.
So there's three things about Bruce Pac-Man.
Yeah.
Handsome. Movies are handsome. Fabulously rich.
Mm-hmm.
Black Porsche.
Black Porsche. Yep.
I think if you asked someone to describe me, a human man,
mm-hmm.
what the three most notable things about me, I don't think anyone would ever get around to drives a 2017 Jetta, Volkswagen Jetta.
I've never said it.
No. I don't even think most people would know what I drive.
No.
2017 Volkswagen Jetta.
Pretty cool.
And that's because I'm a human man.
Right. Yes.
But if you were, say,
a black Porsche. Yeah.
Black Porsche might make it into the top three.
Yeah. No.
Of ways
certainly.
To describe you.
Yeah.
You know? And then hey, watch it. You're going to smudge my masterpiece. I want to look absolutely perfect in case I happen to run into you-know-who. Calling yourself, calling your looks your masterpiece.
Yeah,
it's cool. As Jessica did there. That's cool, and that's something I'm going to start doing.
Yeah, it rules. Yeah. You don't touch my masterpiece.
Kara cast Jessica a knowing grin as she waved goodbye to Lila. You know whose initials wouldn't happen to be BP by any chance, would they? You've got it, Jessica giggled, for beautiful person. Or maybe black Porsche, Kara.
Yeah, there it is right there, Francine. Nah. She put it right there in case we hadn't already fucking picked up on it. Yeah, maybe he's a black Porsche.
Oh, you mean the black Porsche?
Yeah, and that's what BP stands for.
Yeah.
In case we hadn't, because it was, she thought that we would have put it together from the first book. She's like, I'm going to sneakily have his initials be BP, and then people will kind of figure out. And then, like, none of the fans who wrote her fan letters were like, oh, I got it. And she's like, okay, I'm just going to fucking literally spell it out.
His name is BP Black Porsche. Bruce Pac-Man is a car.
He's a car, and he's a car. And the boys are cars in these books. Well, let me read something that kind of complicates car theory a little bit, and you tell me about it. Tell me what you think about this.
Okay.
I think it's nice that you're helping George, Elizabeth said. There's no reason Ronnie should be jealous over a few friendly letters. Enid groaned. You're talking about someone who turns green if I look sideways at another guy by accident, and that's the Hulk. Last week, he caught me going over a homework assignment with a guy in my history class. I thought he was going to blow a fuse, and that's a car.
Cars can blow. My 2017 Jetta blows fuses all the time.
And that's a car.
I'll try to open the moonroof.
Yeah.
And it's just like,
yeah.
It's like, that's a fuck, car. I have a pack of fuses in my glove compartment.
He's a green car. That's what it is. He turns green if I look.
Glove compartment, more like fuse compartment, am I right?
That's not
because of how often the fuses blow in the fucking car.
But here's what Francine says next.
Yep.
A tiny alarm went off inside Elizabeth.
Okay.
And what now do alarms this go off inside?
Cars.
Yeah. So that's interesting.
Cars. Can I tell a story from my past?
Okay.
When I was in college, story's sort of gross. Should I do the gross part or just skip the gross part?
I don't know, man. I don't know. I can't say. I don't know.
In college, I drove not a minivan, but like a full-size van.
Okay.
That my grandfather gifted me. It was huge, and it had a electric, fully reclining couch in the back that turned into a full-size bed. And you could just hit a button, and it went from couch to full-size bed, and it was in the back of the van.
Okay.
And this is what I drove.
Is that the gross part?
Daily. No. Yeah. The gross part is that my friends and I had like a thing that was like the first person who can convince someone to come back to the van with them.
That's gross.
Like maybe, you know, get some kind of.
And nobody notoriety. Won, did they? And
no, that's the absolutely sad part. Not.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
It wasn't even a consideration. It's like.
It wasn't really a thing. Yeah.
No. It was a joke. It was us burning ourselves because it's like absolutely not. No one's ever going to invite anyone anywhere.
Yeah.
Let alone to the back of a van.
Yeah.
It was a touchy car and had some bad electric issues because everything on it was electric. And the alarm on it would go off like a hair.
Okay.
Could trigger this thing.
Yeah.
And one morning in college, keep in mind, I woke up at maybe like 11 a.m. and I heard the distinct sound of my van's alarm going off.
Yeah.
And I trudged down the block because my van was not anywhere near my house at the time. It was like a half a block away and disabled the alarm. And a guy came out of his house and he was like, you know, that's been going since like 6:30, right?
Oh, you fucker. God, that like, sucks.
No, I didn't.
I'm a college student. I can like, sleep through anything.
Would you not park your van here ever again?
You're like, will you come back to the van with me?
Yeah, it's a pretty nice. I've got a bet going.
good story. And a tiny alarm went off inside Elizabeth, and we don't know. We'll never know. It doesn't.
Yeah,
make sense.
Maybe the girls are cars too.
Maybe the girls. It's a car book.
Hard to say.
Should we do our burns?
I would love that.
It's a little segment we have, and it's called our. cool. I like the Bane voice you did. Not Bane. Not Bane.
Bane is like a bird of the week.
Bird of the week. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that is
Wait, that was Mickey. I did Mickey Mouse. But yeah.
I think it was closer to Batman, actually.
It was closer to Batman. It was closer to George Warren.
We call it scary. Miles and I do it a lot.
Okay.
And we call it scary voice boy.
Okay, that's fun.
I need a new diaper.
And he'll do it too.
I need a new diaper.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Let's do burns. I got a burn. You want to hear my burn?
Yes.
This is a burn on Jessica Wakefield.
Okay.
Jessica sighed. She'd never wanted anything so badly in her entire life as she wanted to go to the dance with Bruce. It was a new feeling for her. She was used to getting what she wanted, one way or another. And yet half the time, Bruce acted as if he scarcely noticed she was alive, even though she'd done everything she could to get him to notice. Like the time she dropped a half a ton of books right at his feet in study hall. Bruce had only grinned lazily and without lifting a single finger to help her pick anything up, commented, "Way to go, Wakefield." That's funny.
Yeah, it is good. Yeah. Maybe Bruce owns.
Bruce kind of owns, I've got to say. Cool. Yeah, I'm liking Bruce at the moment.
Yeah. My burn is right after the grand scheme is revealed where Elizabeth has maneuvered Winston Egbert into being the king of the prom.
Okay.
And Jessica has become aware of the plot.
Yeah.
"Congratulations, sis," Elizabeth offered. "You don't look too happy about it." "How could you do such a horrendous thing to me?" Jessica hissed. "How could you do such a horrendous thing to me?" How could you do such a horrendous thing to me?
She's like King Hiss.
Yeah, Jessica hissed, her eyes throwing off sparks of green fire. And that also sounds a lot like King Hiss.
Yeah.
"I haven't the slightest idea what you're talking about," Elizabeth answered, smiling sweetly. "Would you like some punch, Jessica?" "I'd like to punch you in the face."
She walked right into that one.
She's that's really awesome. Elegant, that rules. Know?
Yeah, that's elegant. Yeah. Good book.
It was a good book. These books are pretty fun.
Yeah, they're pretty fun.
They're like, I remember the first one we read, I was like, I don't like these books. But I was also fully immersed in the Babysitter's Club at that time, like the sweet, innocent Babysitter's Club.
Yeah.
And now all I've been reading is romance novels. And yeah. It's like, these books are pretty fucking fun.
They're fun. It's fun. Yeah. This was fun. There's like a sense of humor to it.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we'll do another one.
Who knows?
I think probably we're going to do a few more Sweet Valley High books. We're going to do a few more other books like Sweet Valley High.
We might
maybe
just do a Nancy Drew. A few more weeks of programming that are BSCC adjacent.
Yeah.
And then at some point,
it's romance. It's romance.
Pull the trigger on Strange Bedfellows, our romance podcast.
Yeah, which will be pretty similar to this. Mm-hmm. It's time for us to leave. It's also time for us to go. I would like to thank you, Tanner, very much for bearing with me.
You're welcome.
I would like in particular to thank the, what did we say? Valley Wags? That's nothing. That's not a thing. I'd like to thank our listeners, the Valley Wags.
The Valley Wags.
For
remember the Gawker blog, guys?
Yeah, remember? It's from the Gawker blog.
It was a Gawker blog about Silicon Valley. It was gossip.
Yeah, in like 2007.
Yeah.
I'd like to thank them for bearing with us. And thank you, listener, dear listener, for bearing with us. Listener, I married him. That's from Jane Eyre.
Yeah.
And what I would like to say is that you must subscribe to our Patreon. You must. It's patreon.com/BSCC podcast. We have another podcast. We talk about the Little Sister books, currently the Kids and Miss Coleman class, and soon, I think, Saddle Club?
Oh, we're doing Saddle Club?
That's what I think. Or maybe Sweet Valley Twins.
After we get through all, whatever, 150.
How about that? I don't know. Let us know if, you know. That's fun. It's fun. And we sing the descriptions and it's only $5 a month.
I think it's become abundantly clear to all of you that we don't have a plan and we never do. We never will.
Yeah.
But we just go with our whims.
We muddle through, don't we?
But we still put out a fucking 2 podcasts every week for you.
That's got to count for something.
I'm grateful, yeah.
Everybody's nice, and thank you for listening to our show. Please, and we love you listening. And also kiss you. And but please subscribe to our Patreon. It's the only way we support our families. And
I have a job. I have a full-time job.
Yeah, and I have.
That's how I mostly support my family.
I'm like muddle. I'm doing the professional version of what I'm doing with this podcast, which is like every week I'm like, what's the next thing gonna be? I don't know. I forgot to think about it. Anyway, subscribe to our Patreon and buy our merch, bit.ly/BSCC merch. And please do join the Facebook group. Everyone in there is nice and also very, very good. And we love everybody in there. And it's such a nice place to be. And we host discussion threads and everybody posts fun things. And we all like each other. And it's a good place to be. It's Baby Nation and it's on Facebook. Please subscribe to the show. This is a thing I'm saying now. I think a lot of people listen but don't subscribe. It makes a difference if you hit subscribe. And
is that true? Also, how would you even do that?
I don't know what's happening, but subscribe
just
to the show.
Subscribe.
Rate and review the show and recommend the show to a friend. These things matter to us. That's it. That's it. That's all that I have to say to you, except to say that this week we read a novel. The novel was called Sweet Valley High Number 2. Secrets. I think probably for the sake of continuity, next week we're going to be discussing Sweet Valley High Number 3, Playing with Fire. But if we can't get our shit together to get that right, we'll have something else. But we will be discussing Sweet Valley High Number 3, Playing with Fire soon.
Are we going to have a guest?
We've got a guest who's an expert.
She knows way more about Sweet Valley High than either of us because she does have her own podcast, all about Sweet Valley.
Yeah,
and she's probably feeling pretty threatened right now by these two.
Perfect. Yeah,
sniffing
perfect.
Around.
Yeah, fire a few shots valley, across the bow. Yeah. There we go. That's good. Yeah. That's good. You want to keep the guests on their toes when they kindly agree to be on your podcast to help you talk about the book.
Yeah.
Guess what, friends? All that remains is for me to say that this week I have been a Sweet Valley Jack.
My name is Tanner.
Perfect. And we don't have an outro, so goodbye.
Bye.
We're the Sweet Valley Boys. If you love Sweet Valley, better make some noise. It's the Sweet Valley Light. Sweet Valley Jack and Tanner enjoy a sweet analysis of the Sweet Valley books. We'll never annoy you. We're the Sweet Valley Boys. If you love Sweet Valley, better make some noise. Our life's sweet and it's full of joy. 'Cause you're in Sweet Valley.